بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وآله وصحبه أجمعين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.
Woo, let's get it, man. Let's go.
What's got you all excited?
This is not the Dean Tour podcast, bro. Like, are we not here with our brother Yusuf, bro? Like, highly requested guest returning.
You guest, guys, hold on. This is just a regular, bro.
Yeah, this like, is a regular.
Guys, hold on. Before I want to bring out, I want to start this podcast episode off by saying we just came back from Virginia. Amazing community over at Adams Center. We had an amazing event. It was one of our first times doing something like that. Alhamdulillah. And of course, we're going to get into it, but we had our brother Yusuf there. It was amazing. And, you know, that event, it really put things into perspective. We want to do things like that more often. Right, guys?
Yeah, of course. You know, we always wanted to thank Allah for that opportunity. Mm-hmm. And then thank everybody that was there as well. You know, everybody was great. Everything went well. Alhamdulillah. People were super accommodating. So big shout out to Adams Center.
Yeah. Inshallah. Where do I begin?
All right, let's begin. Let's begin before the trip. All right, yeah. So the way to the airport that day, right? And you know we're gonna go into that a little bit. So I want you guys to understand something. That day that we were going out to Virginia, our flight was at what 9:42 a.m.
Yeah,
right. It was literally exactly at 9:42, right? And for some reason that day, you know, I was very tired, so I went back to sleep after Fajr. Right, I wake back up. I wake up, it's like 7:40. And I'm like, bro, we still in the house? We still in the house, bro? We not at the airport. I was like, why didn't nobody wake me up? So I opened up my phone and I see Osman texted the group chat at like 6:50 a.m. He said, I brought food. And I'm like, this dude has been up this whole time and hasn't woken us up.
I thought everyone was going to wake up on their own. I was up since 6.
See, look, and that's what you get for assuming. Don't you get to a point where you're just like, all right, we got to start waking people up?
Yeah, and we got to that point, and everyone in the house was awake. I said, look, we got food, and then we're all getting ready, and time is passing. It's around 8 a.m., 8, 10 a.m., we get out the house, we head for the airport. Airport's around a 25-minute drive from
typically
our house. Typically. So we're on pace to make it, right? Can we agree? We're on track to make it.
Sure.
We were cordial.
Yep.
Little did we know.
What time is boarding?
Hold on. We plan, and Allah plans, and Allah is the best of planners. That's not a joke. That's fact. We get out. There's the highway, traffic jam, traffic after traffic after traffic. I'm trying to keep my mind off things to keep the anxiety off. Hussein saying, dude, this is bad. Osman's telling us we're not going to make it. I'm just trying to keep calm. Dude, we're going to make it. Relax.
Okay, but honestly speaking, look, even though I was saying, oh, yeah, we're not going to make it, I felt like we were going to make it. I wasn't really worried, right? Until we really got there and, you know, we unload our bags and everything like normal. We go to check in our bag and they say, check-in is closed.
The check-in to the plane was closed. At that moment, we all look at each other and you can tell by everyone's face is distressed.
No. Especially Hussein. Hussein looked like he was about to crash out. He's talking about something. Nah, this can't be. So in that moment, right, we just all looked at each other, right? You know, so I was like, you know what, guys, come over here. Let's put everything in the bag. We literally grabbed everything out of the check bag, left my cologne, you know, the most important thing I was about to bring.
There's a moral to this story. Hold on. We're going to keep on going.
Yeah. So we take all our stuff out, everything that we thought we needed. And then Osman, go ahead. You ran back to
at this point, look. So we had to get through security, you can't bring a check bag. And we had a big bag and all three of us had backpacks. So we removed everything from the bag. And I said, Hussein Osman, you guys go to the gate, tell them to wait and don't let the plane take off under any circumstance. I'm on the way. I ran all the way across the airport. I looked like a crazy man carrying a 50-pound bag, taking it to our car because we parked at the airport. I put it in the car. I came back. Hussein and Osman are still in security. At this moment, there's 7 minutes until they close the border.
How do we get to security? We got to take a tram. We got to take a tram all the way across the airport.
Exactly. It was a big process. It felt like time was slowing down. I get to Hussein and Osman. These guys are in the security line. I'm like,
duh. Dude, I'm in the security line. I'm like, dude.
7 minutes till close.
And I'm just like, bro, where's Osman? Call Osman. He said, no. He's on the tram. He's on the way here. I said, all right, perfect. So we're just moving up in the line. We're moving up slowly but surely, right? And then Osman finally pops up and he's like, this ain't going to work. This not going to work. So you know what he starts asking? He starts asking the TSA people. He starts saying, hey, our flight leaves in 7 minutes. You know, is there any way that we can cut the line? And they just straight up told us no. So you know what he did? He went and asked another one. And they were like, you know what? It's not up to me. It's up to the people. So he starts asking people. They start letting us through. You know, we ask one by one by one until we get to this one brother in particular. We get to this brother and he's talking about some.
Y'all
not going to make it.
Yeah.
Literally just like that. Y'all not going to make it. So in that moment, I just thought to myself, I was like, all right, do I say something right now that I'm not supposed to be saying? And I was like, you know what? Let me just keep my mouth closed. Osman was like, you're not going to let us try? And you know what? This is my type of mentality. But in that moment, I didn't think like that. You got to think about that. In that, usually that's how I think. But in that moment, I wasn't thinking like that. I was just thinking about a way of, you know, I'm going to crash out. I'm going to start saying some things that I shouldn't be saying. But in that moment, Osman was like, you're not going to let us try? And bro, subhanAllah, like this lady, like all the way up ahead was like, you know what? You guys can go in front of me, right? And then
at this point, everyone in the TSA line, in the security line is rooting for us. It's like a movie. Go, let's go, let's go. We even had one person tell us they've been in our position before.
She was like, I've been in that place before. You know, you guys go ahead in front of me.
Mm. So we make it to security. We take off everything. I don't even ask them like, what do I need? I just take off everything and I go and I put it in the bag and I go through security. I get out before Hussein and Osman. I run to our gate. They're closing. I say, I say, my brothers are coming. They're in security. Can they come right now? The lady tells me no. All these no's. Everybody telling me no. Everybody telling me you can't. Everybody telling me you can't go. Y'all not gonna make it. This, that, and the third. We don't give up. You don't roll over.
Yep.
And then I start like waving my boarding pass so I can try and get on the plane. And it's like, it's not scanning. I love plans and we plan. Allah is the best of planners. And then she says, "Are those your brothers behind you?" And I see Hussein and Osman running with their bags. I'm like, "Yeah, that's them." And they say, "Okay, you guys can get on."
But here's the thing, though. That day, I was literally wearing a jacket, right? And under the jacket, all I had on was a tank top. So mind you, you know, I put all my stuff into the thing to go through security. I'm just wearing a tank top. I quickly grab my jacket, my bag, and I'm just running. Tank top and everything. I look so crazy.
We look so crazy in the airport.
But like, bro.
But we made it, though.
Exactly. Because in that moment, guess what? We didn't care what nobody had to say. And on top of that, we got no's after no's after no's after no. We weren't taking no for an answer. Right. And we still were able to make it, alhamdulillah. And subhanAllah, we make it onto the plane. Right. And then there's this brother Yusuf. He's on the plane. And like, there are so many things going through my head. I don't know how it was for you guys in that moment, but I was like, man, I'm just glad to be here. Like, I was just thinking about what just happened. Right. I was reflecting upon that. And subhanAllah, Yusuf comes up. And the first thing he tells us is, you guys aren't allowed to be on the, excuse me, guys.
And I didn't even know anything about what you guys just went through.
You guys aren't allowed to be on this flight.
It was a joke. And I'm like, first off, no way coincidentally, like this was unplanned. Yusuf is going on the same flight to Virginia as us on the same day. And he was on the same flight back. It was coincidental. I love plans that you plan. Allah is the best of plans. We get on the plane. That's the first thing he says to us. I'm not even processing. I'm like, my heart's still beating. I'm sweating. I smell bad. Like all these different things going through my head. And it's like, bro. And the first thing Osman told me when we got on the plane, first thing, I sent a message in the group chat, and to me, Hussein, Osman, we have a group chat, I said, Tawakkal at Allah, boys. And I'm thinking Osman's going to be like, yeah, man. No, he looks at me, he says, we got to take accountability for this. And I'm like, all right, ready to kill the mood, but he's right. So it's like, subhanAllah, like we had that entire experience, and then we went, and we had an amazing event, an amazing opportunity in Virginia. And it was like, first off, it was really worth it.
Yeah.
It was worth it. And you know, it was just like, alhamdulillah, we got to make it. Allah plans and you plan. Allah's the best planner.
Nah, but for real though, as soon as we sat down and I said, yeah, we got to take some accountability, like that's real, right? Because every single time you go through something, right, you just accomplish something great or you just lost something, you really have to reflect on how you got into that situation. Because every time we go through something, we had some sort of role to play in that. Whether, you know, it's Allah punishing us or Allah testing us, right? It's just the way that, you know, you look at things. If this thing that just happened to you, if it drives you closer to Allah, then of course it was a test, right? And it was a blessing. But if it's something that drives you away from Allah, then indeed it was a punishment. Right? No matter how good that it looks. And on top of that, now we got to hear Yusuf's side of the story the same exact day. And a matter of fact, going to the day before, what you told me about Osman, right?
So I see that the Deen Tour, they posted on their story that they're going to be in Virginia. And subhanAllah, I was already traveling to Maryland, which is like, for people who don't know, it's like 45 minutes to an hour drive from Virginia. It's the state right next to it. And I was traveling to Maryland because I used to live there. And my mom's aunt, she was sick. She was in the hospital, may Allah give her shifa. So my mom, she wanted me to travel with her. So I told my mom, okay, inshallah, we can go for the weekend. And I see Osman's, I see the story, and it shows that they have an event in Virginia. And I recognized the Masjid Adam Center because when I was a little kid, like we used to go to that masjid sometimes in Virginia. So then I see Usman at college and I tell him, yo, Usman, you guys have an event in Virginia, right? He's like, yeah. I'm like, bro, I'm gonna be in Maryland like 1 hour away from you guys. I'm gonna try to come through, inshallah. And then he's like, okay, inshallah. And we didn't even know that we're gonna have the same flight. I was like, yeah, bro, I'll go on Friday, I'll come back on Sunday. He's like, yeah, we leave on Friday too. But I didn't think we would have the same flight because Maryland has a different airport than, it's called BWI, it's different than Dulles, which is for Virginia. So apparently my dad, he booked the flights for Dulles instead of BWI because his flights like were, BWI had some problems with the people, like flights coming in. So we went to Dulles, but I didn't know that at the time. So we're flying and it's in the back of my mind, like, yeah, maybe I'll see these guys. But I ended up like one of my old teachers, he was hosting an event for a Quran recitation. And when he found out I was coming, he was like, I was going to recite at that masjid. So I was like, guys, I really can't make it to your event, but maybe we can link after at a restaurant or something. So I get on the flight and I'm sitting down. Like I wasn't late. Like I was still a flight. Like I was normal. And I'm sitting in the plane, in the back of the plane, and my mom was next to me. And my mom was like, Yusuf, aren't those your friends? And I'm like, I look. I just see these three guys. I'm like, no way, bro. So I walk up there, like, let me troll these guys. I didn't know they went through any of that. I found all this after the event. And I go, you guys cannot be on this flight right now, as a joke.
Yep.
And this guy just, why is this guy getting so scared? And he tells me everything after. So subhanAllah, like, Allah works in mysterious ways. Now, that's not the only thing that, like, we're on the same flight. We get to Maryland, and this their event, they had an event on Friday and Saturday. Mm-hmm. For the Saturday event, that's when I was supposed to recite. And at the event, like, with my teacher. And then I get a text message that the event has been canceled because of the weather, like extreme weather conditions. They expected like a winter storm or something. So they're like, the event has been canceled. So then I call up Hussein and I tell Hussein, yo, Hussein, my event's been canceled. So I'm going to pop out to your guys' event, inshallah. He's like, all right, inshallah. So subhanAllah, like, it's just Allah works. And like Usman kept repeating, they plan Allah's best plan. وَيَمْكُرُونَ وَيَمْكُرُ اللَّهُ وَاللَّهُ خَيْرُ الْمَاكِرِينَ. Like, indeed, Allah is the best of planners. And that's why people, like they say, the salaf, they say, اللهم اختارني ولا تخيرني. Oh Allah, choose for me and don't let me be the one to choose, because indeed Allah knows what is best for you. If you were to be taken at the end of time and you were be shown the whole plan that Allah mapped out for your destiny, like everything you're going to go through, you would pick that. And they said that if a mu'min, if he knew how Allah, he decides his affairs for him, he would cry. He would cry out of love for Allah because of how Allah. So subhanAllah, it's just like me and Usman, we sat down after the event at the masjid. We were like, wow, bro. Like, look at this. Like, this timing and this cancellation and everything is just subhanAllah. And I just ended up going to the event in Virginia. And alhamdulillah, like, it was a beautiful event. I got to witness it towards the end. And the trivia. And we had the Quran recitation and everything. SubhanAllah. Mm-hmm. SubhanAllah.
What an amazing turn. I like, see the way when you put it like that, you're just like, wow, bro. Circle of life. We went from like having so much distress, and for someone like me, that I've never missed a flight in my life. So I was, man, I was stressed. They're downplaying how badly I was stressed. I was like, bro, we might miss it. Like, in the before we can move on, I just like, this is the last thing, and then we're gonna go into the next part, inshallah. But when we were in the security line, and Usman's downplaying this, while I was sitting there, I'm pacing back and forth, I'm looking back and forth, I'm like, yo, I don't know what we're going to do. Because I was like, I told them we have to cut the line, but man, my social anxiety never hit like it did before there. Like, I'm not a nervous person. I was willing to go, but like, for some reason, my heart and my everything just would in my body wouldn't let me go to that person in front of me and be like, yo, our flight's about to leave. Can we leave? So that's why we kept saying, where's Usman at? Where's Usman at?
See, but like, that just shows you, right? You say, you know, you're not a nervous person, but in that moment, your social anxiety hits you. Me, in that moment, I told you, I said, I'm that type of person where like, oh, you're not going to let me try? Oh, I'm not going to do that? I bet, watch this. But in that moment, I didn't say it. You know what I mean? And that just shows you that it don't matter who you are or what you're doing right now or what you did yesterday. When you're tested by something, you're not going to always act accordingly. You're going to act differently every single time, right? You're not going to always act the same. And that's why Allah is going to test you.
Usman had like 500 IQ plays that day. Inshallah.
But it's like really humbling though, because man, you say these things, you say if this were to happen to me, if I just got this, I would be this type of person.
That's what I'm saying.
If I just got wealth, I'd be the most charitable person. I'd give this, I'd give that. But here's the thing. Things befall you all the time. Sometimes you're tired. Like, I want to give an analogy. If you miss fajr because you're tired, you want to go to sleep, you're lazy, like, are you not a mu'min anymore? Are you not a believer because of the way you feel? Like, subhanAllah, sometimes the way you feel, you let the way you feel dictate and determine how you can act. And it's just like in those moments. And it really downplays like the jihad and nafs is such a strong trait. To really fight yourself, to really every to be able to do something consistently every single day. And that's why, like, I love the practicality of Islam. Islam teaches consistency. 5 prayers every day. We fast frequently, oftenly. We give sadaqah frequently, oftenly. All these things. And we're on a consistent, and there's rules, regulations, guidelines that you have to follow. And if you don't follow them, like, then there's repercussions. Haram, forbidden. We have all these things set in place for us. Because we're not just an animal which follows our desires everywhere we go.
Yep.
We're controlled. Like, that's why, like, subhanAllah. And it's like, you say you act like that in those moments, but then when the anxiety, when the rush, when your heart starts beating, you really, it's like you can't even act. And it's like, mm-hmm. At that moment, you just got to praise Allah.
And the same falls whenever, you know, you get a blessing. People always ask Allah, oh, if I was a wealthy person, I'd do this and this and that. I'd change the world. But in reality, they get that type of money and it stirs them completely away from it. You know what I mean? That's why, you know, you never want to make these false promises to Allah, especially when you're like, oh, Allah, if you grant me this, then I'll do such and such. Because you just never know. You know what I mean? Because once Allah tests you and you're really put in that moment, you know, that's when Allah will really see, and you will really see for yourself.
And that's what, it goes over a lot of people's head. In the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we are ever testing of our servants. Always, like this entire life, like this entire dunya, every single day, it's always a test. Are you going to do good? Like, you have free time. What are you going to do with that free time? Your eyes, your ears, your hands. Like, what are you going to do?
I don't know.
When you think about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala telling you he's always testing his servants, it's because everything is a test as much as it is a blessing. Mm-hmm. Your money is a test as much as it is a blessing. Mm-hmm. Allah tells you that even your children are a test just as much as they are a blessing. Mm-hmm. Your parents, your relationship with the people around you, right? How you're going to deal with strangers. The way that you're going to be following the sunnah, right? Are you going to follow it to the way that it's meant to be followed? Or are you going to go and follow what some of the ignorant people have done and do things that you're not meant to do and start calling these types of things Islam, right? Even your religion itself, that's a test. Because are you going to adhere to your deen? Are you going to adhere to the commandments of Allah the way that they're supposed to be adhered to? Or are you going to take it in your own route, go the route that other people have gone, that people have strayed away? Right? Mm-hmm. And that's why we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep us away from that path that has been led astray, the one that has earned his anger.
Exactly. And what's the biggest opportunity we have coming up? Ramadan. See, and I talked about feelings earlier. It really amazes me. Like, you don't really think about it outside of Ramadan, but during Ramadan, but you think about it outside of Ramadan. We really go 30 days fasting every single day. We got, bro, I was talking to Osman the other day. I was talking to someone the other day. It might have been you, where I was talking about, bro, the Huffaz that lead Taraweeh, bro, like, they got, like, I feel like they're underrated. Because you have how, like, if you've ever, led a salah, it takes a toll. Like, you got to make sure everything's perfect because people are praying behind you.
Yeah, you now, Taraweeh,
30 for 30 every single night. They finish the entire Quran. Look at, like, these people, like, subhanAllah. And they do it for 30 days. Like, that's the, look at the blessings in Ramadan. Suddenly in Ramadan, you have the iman, you have the strength to stand up the entire night and pray the entire night. And you have this to fast the entire day. Like, subhanAllah.
SubhanAllah. No, that's 100% true. And I go through that experience. So for the past like 5 years, it's stressful. Well, life is stressful. But like, you know, at the end, you look at it, you're like, subhanAllah, alhamdulillah, you did this for the sake of Allah. And Eid, that, like, you know, subhanAllah, people, they, when I'm like going off, like when people, they see this feeling of Eid, they're like, man, Eid doesn't hit the like I used to. Mm-hmm. But if you actually work your heart throughout Ramadan, whether it be like reading Quran, praying Taraweeh, you know, staying up at the night, fasting, and just, you know, cleansing your heart, that Eid will start to hit for real. Like Eid, that's when Eid starts to hit, subhanAllah. And like, as we're getting into this topic of Ramadan, and let's not forget the ayah that Allah says in the Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامِ كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِن قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. The all you who believe, fasting has been made upon you. Why? Just as it has been made on the people before you, so that you can achieve piety. You know, when I was in third grade, I was like 10 years old. My teacher, she asked me, she was not Muslim, but she asked me, why do you guys fast? And at this time, I wasn't understanding. I was like, you know, we fast so like we can see how like people who don't have food, how they feel.
Yeah,
so you know, so like you don't understand. Like, but then as I grew older, I look back on the question and I reminisce and I'm like, subhanAllah, this is why you fast, so you can get piety. Yes, you will feel hungry. Yes, you will stay up the night, but through those actions and through being conscious of Allah while you're fasting and while you're praying the night is what to achieve piety, subhanAllah.
And I actually want to bring up hadith that talks about that piety that we can achieve by fasting, where we're told by the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam that the deeds we do can be multiplied from 10 up to 700 or however many Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills, right? And we know in Ramadan, subhanAllah, that the reward is multiplied 70 now, meaning it's even much better than any type of month or any type of day, no matter what it may be. And in that same hadith, Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned how Allah says that fasting, he didn't prescribe a reward for it because he held it with him for the day of judgment, correct? And this type of reward is something that we won't ever know until we see it on the day of judgment.
And what's the wisdom behind that?
Because if we actually knew, actually, no, you told me.
No, I mean, it's just like, the thing is with fasting, like that's not something that you can really do like, or trying to you're not trying to show off like when you're fasting, right? Because nobody really knows if you're fasting, right? Unless like you just go out. No, unless you just openly go out and just, oh, I'm fasting. No, like this and that. Because like, you know, people, they might pray, they might be considered showing off. People might be giving money away so that they can look like there's somebody rich, you know, et cetera, right? But when it comes to fasting, right, only Allah knows that you're fasting, right? Up until the moment that, you know, you tell everybody.
Yeah, you know, like yesterday I was at the office for like my therapy for my knee, for my training. And my coach, he was like, the trainer, he was like, man, like I told him like when Ramadan, I was talking to him, he was like, when Ramadan comes, like we're going to have to like ease up a little bit because like we go hard. And he was like, man, like how do you guys do that, man? Like how do you guys go 30 days? And I looked at him, I was like, it's because of faith, you know? It's because of faith, subhanAllah. Like you have people now, like recently, like in these last few years, people who are health enthusiasts, they like to start fasting and they do 3-day fast or prolonged or water fasting. Why? Because they believe in that, right? Because they believe that it's good for them. So subhanAllah, the reason that we fast too is what? Because we believe that this is how Allah, not only because Allah made it like upon us, the mandatory, it's also because it's the way we get closer to Allah. And Allah, this is why it's Ramadan is a blessing. Why? Because it brings you closer to Allah. Because it renews your faith. It renews your heart, subhanAllah.
And you've seen like the scientific benefits that people, now they try to start intermittent fasting, right, yeah, and stuff like that. Right?
Exactly, but here's the thing though, we don't fast because of that. We worship Allah, we obey Allah, and then we see the benefits. Not, oh, we look at the benefits and then we're like, okay, maybe I should follow Allah. No.
Yeah,
no. You know what I mean? Like, and that's something a lot of people have backwards nowadays. Because the first thing, when somebody asks you, why do you as a Muslim fast? Your answer shouldn't be, oh, because it's good for our health. No, your first reason should be because Allah said so, and this is what I believe in. And then you can say, oh yeah, because my fasting also does have these types of benefits, et cetera, right? You know, we kind of get caught in the loop, kind of like, you know, it just reminds me, like when I was younger and people asked me, why don't you eat pork? Oh, I'm allergic. No, like that's not the real reason. The reason why we don't eat khinzir is because it's not permissible.
I actually wanted to...
And then also, the thing is with fasting, it also helps you out with your desires, right? The Prophet ﷺ, I'm like, this is something that he prescribed onto us, right? And, you know, when it comes to, for example, like what the imam brought up today in the khutbah, when it talked about, you know, physical intimacy, right? You know, you want to stay compliant with the Sharia, right? And one way, like, if you can't get married right now, what did he tell him to go do? Tell him to start fasting, right? Because that's a way of controlling his desires.
Yep.
Like, I want you to understand something. If you can stay away from food and drink, things that are necessity for you to survive, then imagine you can stay away from things you don't need to survive, right? Like, for example, your alcohol, the drugs, the woman, the parties, the freemix, you know, whatever it may be, anything haram, you can stay away from because you don't even need those things to survive live, to begin with.
Yeah. And, you know, subhanAllah, one thing that, like, fasting, it teaches you is that, sorry, I'm saying go because I just lost my train of thought.
I was just going to say, like, why don't we present some advice for people who, let's say they tried to make good in Ramadan last year, but maybe they fell off a little bit afterward. And something that, you know, it reminds me of is what we heard in the khutbah where he talked about, it was like
sharpening the knife right?
For, and I was gonna for 30 days and then just putting it away. Like, how do we make sure that we keep the knife sharp for the entire year and for the rest of our life? Because Ramadan is not just about picking up habits during Ramadan and then leaving them off, right? It's also being able to pick up certain habits that you can continue after Ramadan for the rest of your life.
Right? One thing I would say is that remember how you feel during Ramadan. I don't think I've ever seen people more, like the masjid is more full or people more happy than in Ramadan. Your family's eating together. Everyone's at the dinner table this time. you have this big community.
Everything's all planned out.
Everything's planned out. Everyone got a smile on their face. Remember how you feel during Ramadan, or remember the barakah. And let that be a learning experience for you to know that you can do this every day out the year.
And you know, that's why people are like, why are people so happy in Ramadan? Why is everyone just so happy and lighthearted and, you know, they're just kind? Why? Because you're doing what you were created to do. When you're there in that, like, well, Allah created you, when you're doing that, that's when your soul actually is at peace. That's when it's happy. And the point that now I remembered what I wanted to say was, subhanAllah, and the Imam kind of touched on this in the Jum'ah, that shaitan is locked up in Ramadan. We have the hadith that the big shayateen, they're locked up.
Yep.
So then one might think to himself, then why do I get the desire to do something? Or why do I still do this haram or this action? Why do I do that if shaitan is locked up? Because he's not whispering in my ear. The answer is because that's your nafs. That you allowed your nafs to do that thing over and over and over again. That it's not shaitan. Shaitan doesn't even need to help you anymore. Mm-hmm. Right? After like a few weeks, shaitan's like, man, I can take a vacation. Because this brother's going to keep doing this. Or this sister's going to keep doing this. And I don't even need to tell them to. Because why? The nafs. That nafs, you have to discipline that nafs. And that's what Ramadan, you discipline that nafs in Ramadan. You teach it that this is wrong. And when you let go of those bad habits in Ramadan, it's way easier to continue those good deeds and pick up better deeds after Ramadan, as Hussein was saying.
Right, and that example of the shaitan, right, just reminds me of the example of the fan. You spin a fan with your hand, you hit it one time, right? You had an effect on that fan. Yep. And guess what? You stop spinning it. What's the fan going to do? It's still spinning, right? All the way up until I can walk away and come back and hit it again.
100%. Exactly.
It's the same thing with your iman. When you discipline yourself in iman, right, even when you're feeling low iman, you're still going to get up and pray. Mm-hmm. But if you're not disciplined enough, then you're going to feel like, oh man, Allah, like, he hates me. He's not listening to my dua. So I'm going to stop doing these things altogether. I'm going to stop asking this dua because I don't know enough, right? I'm not doing it. You haven't done enough good. You haven't done it long enough. So you can't keep it up. But if you've been keeping it up for so long, then you know when it's high, when it's low, you know exactly what to do. And you're going to keep doing that. You're going to keep praying 5 times a day. You're going to still make dua, right? You're going to still make that effort to go and learn more about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because you understand, just like how shaitan's not going to quit, I'm not going to quit.
Yeah, and at a certain point, like the du'as, the istighfar, it becomes less and less about like a result, but more and more about worship. Like you call out to Allah. I'm calling out to Allah because it's calling out to Allah. And I expect a response not because of who I am, but because of who Allah is. Like when you think about it like that, du'a, you start making du'a for everything. Because like, subhanAllah, you know you're going to see it. Because there's nothing in this world, like, we believe in complete justice. There's nothing that happens or like that you ask for or that you do in this world that you won't see, either see in this world or see in the next world.
And I urge everyone to, obviously, like, this podcast is going to come out maybe about a week before Ramadan. So I urge everyone, like, you should be preparing heavily in advance. Because you don't want to start Ramadan and that's the first day that you're actually trying to do better.
Mm.
The first day you should be trying to do better should have started from the last Ramadan. Because we all know that we're all going to take dips after Ramadan. But of course, you know, we want to go about the year doing our best. And then when Ramadan comes, we can't just automatically light up, turn on the switch, and be the best possible Muslim that we can be. It's good to do our best in this month, but it's not fair to ourselves if we don't carry that over. It's not fair to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if we don't carry that over. Because he gave you this blessed month. And we know the hadith of the dream of the two friends that were seen, right? One who died as a martyr, but he was seen entering.
I love the story.
He was seen entering Jannah after his friend who lived a year longer than he did, right? And why? What did the Prophet ﷺ say? Was the reason he was seen entering Jannah before.
He lived to see another Ramadan.
SubhanAllah. Yes. Lived to see another Ramadan. He lived to pray all these extra prayers, right? But the fact that he mentioned Ramadan right there, you see how much blessing there is just in this month alone.
Exactly.
Right? He could be seen entering Jannah before a martyr.
A martyr. Like, a martyr is like highest rank, subhanAllah. Like, dying in the sake of Allah in battle is like, that's like the highest rank.
Exactly.
And his friend, he just lived another year and saw another Ramadan. SubhanAllah.
And that just tells you the weight of, you know, what we're going into. And the reason why we make a video like this every year is because, one, it's a reminder, right? It's a reminder we all need. We all want to, you know, pump ourselves up for when Ramadan comes, right? And if you think about it, like, in the sports sense, a sports team is not going to prepare for the biggest game of their life the week of the game. They're preparing the whole season. They're preparing the entire year for them to get to this point. For us, we know we're getting like we don't know that we're getting to Ramadan, but when we do, we're always preparing for every single day. So we should act in accordance like a sports team, constantly preparing, doing our single best every single day because we know who's on the other side. Who's on the other side trying to make us fall off? And that's shaitan. If shaitan is constantly practicing and trying to push you away from being your best self, then you have to work harder to be your best self. And that's why you can never be someone who is okay with being lazy, okay with procrastinating. And I really despise people who, you know, take on this quality and thinking that it's okay. They say, oh, I'm garbage. I procrastinate so much, but they don't do anything about it. I'm like, dang, bro.
You got to still stay consistent after the month of Ramadan. Because another example is, imagine I sent you on a training for 30 days. You come back, you're still the same person. Are you kidding me? Like, you know what I mean? Just like the example with the knife. You spend 30 days sharpening a knife just to put it away, not even use it. When in reality, with that knife, you should be cutting yourself the biggest fruit salad. Meaning what? You should be trying to get all. Yeah, you should be trying to get anything that you can gain out of it, right? Anything that you can pull out of Ramadan that is good, you know, you take it. And especially if you want to make this Ramadan your best one, I always say this. You always build a strong connection with the Quran. Ramadan is literally the month where the Quran was sent down.
Yeah.
And it became the best of months. Angel Jibril revealed the Quran to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and he became the best of angels. The Quran was revealed to the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and he became amongst the best of prophets. The Quran was revealed to us as an ummah, and we became the best ummah. SubhanAllah.
And so like that analogy teaches that anything that the Quran touches becomes great.
And just understand this. In the month of Ramadan, I've never, ever seen a time, I don't know if it's just me, where memorizing the Quran was so easy.
It's not only you, bro.
Like, I was literally on a point where I was at least memorizing a surah a day. Like, that's like alhamdulillah, right? Like, it really got to that point where, because in Ramadan, like, it's possible. And you see that these things are possible. You can carry these traits on throughout the rest of the year. That's one of the biggest things that I take from Ramadan. You look at Ramadan and you see all these great things happening. You understand these things are possible. Why can I not exercise this in my daily life? Because of my choices.
It's so cool when you think about it, because Ramadan, yes, of course, it's such a blessed month, but does it add any hour to the day? Does it add anything to the actual day that we can see? No. Like, we have the same 24 hours in a day. If you have a job, you're still going to your job. Like, none of these things change. But for some reason, you have more time to be at the mosque. You have more time to spend with your family. You have more time to spend with your Lord. But when Ramadan is over, I'm so busy. I have school. I have exams. I have this. I have that. And you're like, wow, how is this even possible? Why does this happen to me? It's because shaitan has mixed your priorities up.
Yeah.
Right? You've allowed your nafs to mix your priorities up outside of Ramadan, because you know inside of Ramadan, so long as you're doing your best and worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, making dua, especially those last 10 nights, you're spending every single night elongating your sujood because you're looking for Laylatul Qadr and you know what happens on Laylatul Qadr, then how come outside of Ramadan, right, the dua doesn't feel as sweet?
It's also like, I'm even reflecting back on us. We'll do these podcasts during Ramadan. No food, no drink. We're hungry, we're thirsty, but our podcast will be energetic.
And we're not hangry.
Yeah, we're not hangry. Dude, I was just thinking, I'm like, subhanAllah, all these things that you said about Ramadan is true. There is no addition. There's no 24 extra hour. There's none of these. But for some reason, I can run off less sleep, less food, less drink, do more. And it makes me question myself. It's not even about like all the supplemental stuff. It's not even about like all the desires that I fulfill. It's more about faith. If you really want to get things done, if you really want to do things and change yourself, it's really about faith. And Ramadan teaches us that.
But remember the last 10 nights last year? Like, we was really pushing hard. Like, I never felt a sense of urgency so much in my life. You know what I mean? Like, those last 10 nights of Ramadan, man, like, we were really pushing hard. Like, especially that one day, right? Like, we had everybody out here. We had all our friends out here. And we went to, every single prayer went to a different masjid. Like, that felt great.
And you know, like something that also teaches us from the Sahaba time, like when was the battle of Badr? When was it fought? The first battle. Ramadan. It was fighting Ramadan. Imagine fighting in like that. It's like hundreds of degrees there, like above 100 degrees, yeah. Right? And you're fasting and you have to fight barefoot with swords and stuff. And people are dying. Like if the Sahaba could do that, and Usman just made me think of that as like the faith. That's really what it is. It's just the faith. Like if you really believe, Allah will support you. Intansurullah yansurkum. Right? That if you support this religion, Allah will support you. Mm-hmm. And if whoever Allah supports, he doesn't need the support of anyone else. Yeah. And whoever Allah does not support, if everyone else was to support him, he has no support. SubhanAllah. Right.
And to gain the support of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala this Ramadan, you know, something I think about, I do this every single year. It's, I really look at how can I beat my former self? How can I beat myself last year? Because if I've measured every single Ramadan since like maybe 2017, I've done better every single year, right? And subhanAllah, the way I think about what I was doing like last year, obviously, alhamdulillah, it was like my best Ramadan yet. And I always look at how are you going to beat him? And that's where this preparation comes from. It's not just, okay, let me try to leave off some of these bad habits and try to pick up some good ones. How can I maximize this Ramadan this year with the, like, let's say the things that we do in Ramadan, such as Taraweeh, right? How can I make sure that I don't miss a day of Taraweeh, let's say? Or how can I make sure I read the entire Quran this time, right? Or getting more involved in tafsir or learning something, learning beyond what I've learned before. Because in this month, this is the month of the Quran. So you want to be as connected to the Quran this month as you've ever been in your life. And if this is just like any other month to you, or if you ever say that Eid doesn't feel like Eid, then you need to check yourself and check your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Yeah.
Because if this is his favorite month, if this is the month that the Quran was revealed, if this is the month that every single Muslim should be striving their best in, a month that the gates of Jannah are open. And we obviously feel that that's one of the blessings of Ramadan, is that the gates of Jannah are open, the gates of Jahannam are closed. SubhanAllah. So if you don't feel that love for Ramadan and it's approaching, then you need to check yourself and check your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
SubhanAllah. SubhanAllah. And Hussein, just relating off your point, like you're sitting here, you're listening to this podcast and you hear all the imams and they're saying so many stuff about Ramadan, that Ramadan is this much virtue and you get this much reward and all these great things you hear about Ramadan. Sometimes a human being, he becomes overwhelmed and he's like, then what do I do and what do I not do? And some people, they exert themselves in the first week and then they fall off, and then, you know what I'm saying? So it can be exhausting. And something that has helped me, and I do this every single year for as long as I can remember, for Ramadan, I would sit down maybe a week before Ramadan and make yourself goals, schedule, like in terms of salah, Quran, dhikr, dua. I want these du'as to come true. I'm going to make dua every night. I'm going to read one juz of the Quran, right? I'm going to pray these amount of tarawih. If you can't pray 20, pray 8. If you can't pray 8, pray 4. Set something consistent and something grand. I'm going to memorize 5 names of Allah's names and use them every day. I mean, right? So if you do that consistently for 30 days, memorizing 5 names, after that's 150 names, Allah only has 99. You're done with the names, right? Or even not memorizing, just, you know. So subhanAllah, reading one juz of the Quran. If you read one juz at the end of Ramadan, you're finished. You're finished with the Quran, right? So these type of things, try to exert yourself. Try to do as much as you can. But at the same time, don't get exhausted. Set a routine. Set a schedule. Set something realistic, right? And do that. Do that. That's something in psychology that they teach you, is that you have to set realistic goals. If you don't, you're going to burn yourself out. You're going to give up halfway through the race. So that would be my advice for this Ramadan. Try to do something you can do. Set goals and just do that every day. Stay consistent with that. And inshallah, that will help you even after Ramadan to do those same things, inshallah.
I want to give my advice for Ramadan, because I figured we're just going to go around. We're going to go everyone. Okay. And Usman can end us off.
I already gave my advice. Oh. Connection with the Quran.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. Yep. Look, my advice for Ramadan, and I'm going to explain it in further detail, one day at a time. Think of every day, this is the day. This is the day Allah's mercy is going to be showering over me. This is the day all the du'as are going to get answered. This is the day my prayers are accepted. Today's the day. Like, you get up every day with that mentality. Today's the day all the du'as are getting accepted. I'm changing. This is it. The new me. This, like, it's like I came into this Ramadan Osman. I came out this Ramadan Uthman. Like, this is how it's going to change. You get me? And like, come into every single, and that way, like you were talking about Ramadan's fatigue. I remember, like, when I was like 15, 16, I had heavy Ramadan fatigue. Like, I'd do like the first 10 days of Ramadan, every single day in the masjid, and then I get so tired. And the way I stopped doing that is I just took every single day as a new day. And it also, like, it kind of makes, like, it feels like Ramadan goes super fast when you do it like that. But like,
I like what you said, like, take every day as a new day, because who promised you that you will even reach Ramadan? Yeah, now, if you reach Ramadan, who said that you will leave, you're not promised to live halfway through Ramadan. You're not promised to live until Laylatul Qadr. You're not. Some people try, like, okay, I'm going to exert myself in the last 10 nights. Who said you're gonna live till the last 10 nights, brother? Yeah. Right? And something that always reminds me is that my grandfather, he passed away on the 10th night of Ramadan. On the 10th night of Ramadan, subhanAllah. Allah, right? Allah. It was 2 years ago. So, you know, that just reminds me that, and, you know, I even remember going to Taraweeh that night, and the people asked me, are you gonna still be able to lead Taraweeh? I was like, let me do this for my grandfather, you know, subhanAllah. Mm-hmm. So, you never promised to live, subhanAllah, you know, you're not.
Allah yarham.
I mean,
all right. That's a good way to end this episode.
I think that's a good way. This is a really good conversation. I think we mixed in some entertainment, some, you know,
energy.
A good story from us, you know, that we don't always get to tell these types of stories. So that and talking about Ramadan, inshallah, as Ramadan approaches, we're gonna keep, you know, delivering these types of messages, inshallah, and these reminders. So hope you guys enjoyed. Hope you guys took some benefit. Bidnillahi ta'ala. Make sure you guys can share this, share a message with any of your loved one, any of your friends, maybe a stranger, someone at your school. But with that, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Just like I said, make sure to share with your friends and family. You never know whose life you can change by sharing this video. We're still students of knowledge. We're not scholars. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
I just want to thank these brothers for, you know, having me on the podcast. Wallah, it's always a blessing to be here to see these brothers. Yeah, I love all of them for the sake of Allah. And I ask Allah to keep them steadfast on this religion and increase them in knowledge. Ameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.